Hello, everybody, and welcome to Dollars. I'm joined, as always, with Chris Reynolds. How you doing, Chris?
Tired, Alan. Tired. In the depths of the sleepless nights that comes with bringing a newborn into the world. But, you know, that's what you sign up for. So it's just the reality. I'm keen to get this podcast out onto the airways. I think a few people are scratching at the veins today.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, yesterday was my wife's birthday. So I wasn't sure if we're going to go out for dinner or not. And then she was sort of feeling it. So I was like, maybe we'll get a sneaky pot away. And then we're both just sort of chilling on the couch and watching TV together. And I was like, let's just see if Chris is up for moving it a day. And I don't mind moving it a day every once in a while just to fuck with people too. Just to let them know that, I don't know, just to fuck with people. So not too bad. Did we get a couple of messages, did we?
Yeah, we definitely did. A few gifts of, people scratching that itch.
Fair enough. There you go. No, that's cool. How's your week been besides just tired?
Back in the work. So it's been nice to, kind of switch on that part of the brain and kind of get out of the baby bubble. It was a 4-week intensive baby bubble, which, you know, I highly recommend to any new parents to, like, you know, spend as much time as possible. It's the most, like, precious time of my life is like hanging out with my brand new son, but then that bubble's popped and I'm back to work, and shit's been kicking off at work in my absence. So I'm cleaning up aisle 3 as we speak, straight back into it.
Nice.
What about yourself?
Pretty good. Went and saw Beetlejuice on the weekend. Which was really good. I really, really enjoyed that. So very, very funny. I think it's always on its last weeks when we go see it, but I think it's almost gone. So if you haven't seen it yet, try to get out there this weekend because it's really, really funny. Eddie Perfect is Beetlejuice and he does a great job. So that was a lot of fun. And then I went camping in Inverley, which was also quite a lot of fun. Not as big a night as last year, which is relief for me, I think. So I was in bed by like a reasonable hour, which it was well on its way to not being that. And luckily Narada just said something like, should we just pull the pin, boys? And I was like, right at this stage, the table had just sort of become communal, put your bottle down, whoever wants. All that's left was that Glenn had to go like fishing for a cask of tawny. And I found myself forcing that down, and Narada's like, should we pull the pin? I was like, what a good idea.
That is a good indicator. There are a lot of signs right there to be read.
So that was good. But no, always a fun weekend at Inverley. I thoroughly enjoy it. We'll get to that later on, whether I play it well, but I always thoroughly enjoy the weekend. So it was great. And then, back to work it this week. And, also probably equally tired as you, just coming off like a rough weekend of camping and, you know, just trying to get back onto that. So probably just similar tired levels.
No doubt.
But it's been a good week. It's already Thursday. Footy's on tonight. And, got a bit of fun stuff planned for the weekend. So happy days.
Yeah, cool.
I've got something that we haven't thought about in a while, haven't heard about in a while, but came across my desk from Mitch Evers, and I think I need to run with it. This is our alphabet segment. We're back with some alphabet.
It's been so long on the run sheet, I didn't even know what this was.
Yeah, exactly. So I'll have a little play, and then we'll go from there.
Good job, D.
won't play at all, but F says, I love that. That was cool. So, yeah, it was just all about the alphabet sounds. She's got some cool music going on. Seems like a cool teacher. What a fun time. So I like that. That's a good one. That's a good alphabet one for mine.
And gets paid nothing to just bring that level of energy and care, like similar to like I imagine Eddie Perfect on stage, like, and he's getting paid peanuts to do it. So probably. Fair play to her.
Yeah. All right, not much on the run sheet tonight. We've got King of the Hill and we've got Inverleigh Open with plus our standard throwers guarantee and Spotlight Not Light. Do you want to run with the King of the Hill first or the Inverleigh Open first?
Let's go King of the Hill. Let me have it. I'm keen to hear it.
All right. So I think we said it last week. We were handing the reins over to Jace and Ash Wiedner, and they were going to do a chump version of King of the Hill. So a sub 900 rated version of the Melbourne King of the Hill. And, they did a very good job. So we recorded this sitting in the club rooms on Saturday after playing Inverleigh and a handful of cans deep. And I think it comes across exactly that way.
Okay, good.
we'll have a listen now. I thought it was very good. Ash and Jace, obviously not shy on a microphone, but pretty much just swallowed it whole after I gave it near gave it to him, and would not be hurried along, and would not take any criticism at all. So
buckle in.
It's 26 minutes, and this is the Chump King of the Hill. I can't remember what they've called it. They'll put it out there, but here we go. Oh wait, I got to play the intro.
Yes, you do.
Boom. All right, and here's the boys. All right, thanks for joining us here, boys. How you doing?
Sublime, Alan. Thank you. Yeah. Thanks for having us.
That's weird. I don't know what in reference that was, but now I'm super keen for this. I think this is going to be the most volatile hill, and therefore the most contentious, and then which I think will be the best. You have promised many grievances, and I hope we get a lot of them. So I'll give you the mic. Take us through your thought process, the criteria of your hill, the name of your hill, and then just take it away.
Yeah. Well, before we go, I want to talk about some people in disc golf around. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I said you wanted some grievances, Alan, didn't you?
No, this is going to, if nothing else, Alan, it's going to bring back to life your grievance segment.
Yeah.
Because this is very highly controversial.
Excellent. Yeah. That's what we want.
And I think the grievance segment's pretty much just about people playing slow in front of other people or taking their 30 seconds when other people don't want to at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah. It's MA4 blokes whinging about MPO blokes. But yeah. let's move on from that, because we've been done the honour.
It is an honour.
Honour, Ash. It's an honour.
It is an honour. It is.
This is my first time on Throwers, actually, believe it or not.
Is it, Jace?
It is. I know. And the crowd goes, what?
Yeah.
We've had Ash on a lot. But
yeah.
You have. So,
have you been on the tee off?
I haven't been on anything else.
Same. I have. You have not been invited on the tee off.
Yeah, right.
I've boycotted it, but anyway, it's an honour. We've been asked by Alan to do the sub 900.
Yep.
Chumps.
King of the Hill. Or have we liked to have called it, we've renamed it, haven't we?
We have.
For the purpose of this, sub 900 rated. We have called it Sergeant of the Stink Pile.
Yeah.
We think is an incredibly apt name.
It is. Sergeant's a reasonably high rank.
And we're going Now, we've also renamed the categories too.
What
we feel like is fitting. We've got some honourable mentions in there. But without further ado, let's start it.
I mean, why not?
So the first of our tier, we're going to start from the bottom, the top of the hill. So tier five, which has five members, and we have renamed this one. So chumpy, you can carve them.
Yeah. So So we should go through. We got some rules. So we went through. This is only Melbourne Disc Golf Days.
Yes, have to be social regulars. Club. Have to be regulars.
Social day players at the Melbourne Club. Yeah, regulars have to have played a round in the last couple of months.
Oh, consistent rounds.
Consistent.
We don't want any blow-ins.
Yep.
So and no Ruben Burks.
No Ruben Burks. No.
You get Chris and Ruben Burks.
Correct.
Well. No, I love Ruben. No, I really like Ruben. Yeah. we also have a stipulation, and this will come into it later on, but we're using the quick ratings here, right? Mm. So for those that don't understand metrics, and let's face it, who the fuck does? But metrics rating last 16 rounds, it's an average of the scored rounds. Your quick rating is your last 8 rounds. So we're taking that into account too. It's important, Jason.
Sorry.
It's very important. Just ask Kaelin.
If you understood these things, Jason, you'd be rated higher.
Anyway. Sorry about that. I just hit aces at Inverleigh. Oh. More on that later. So, yeah, you have to play consistent Melbourne Disc Golf rounds. We're not interested in blow-ins. We're not interested in people from out of Melbourne. We're interested in Throllers people as well, Ash.
We are. Throllers fans.
So to lead us off, now there's 5 spots available on So Chumpy You Can Carve Them, which is tier 5. We're going to start off with, I'm going to let you introduce because you've, there's something you'd like to say about this guy.
He's the jolliest man.
He's a very jolly man.
And it is Alex Evans. It is Alex Evans. That's okay. That's okay. But he started out the year. He's got an 846 metrics rating, but he's done the work recently, and he's got himself down to 837 on a quick rating. So should be better. Should be better, but can pop off at a social date.
That is chumpy, isn't it?
It is chumpy. He's a jolliest man, but it could be the time that Alex spends over the summer months working in shopping centres as a Santa Claus.
He does. That is,
he does.
He does particularly well out of it, too, I'm told.
Yeah.
Jolly man.
Reminder, everyone, get a working with children check. As they're coming in.
So welcome to the Sergeant of the Stink Pile, Alex Evans. Now, next spot, moving right along on our So Chumpy You Can Carve Them. This guy, he's been up and about, and he's been up near the top in previous years.
He's a very, very, very good disc golfer.
He's not what you would call a regular at Melbourne Social Days.
But he's regular enough.
Yeah, and we know the Throllers boys love to give him shit about how trash he is. So we just couldn't. We had to find a spot for him, didn't we? We had to find a spot.
Yeah, and there really wasn't any other spot.
No, that's right. So sneaking his way into the second spot on tier 5 is none other than Jacob Cruden. He'll be rapt about that.
Oh, he will be. He will be.
Probably his best achievement in a long time.
Does that mean he gets the polecat back? No, he'll never get the polecat back.
No.
Let's just keep that one quiet.
So we're on to, and anyone explain Jacob and how he got himself there, or is it just because he's shit?
It is because he's shit, but I feel like we need the numbers.
Go on, give it to me.
Yeah, so 35th best player in the club, 893 metrics rating.
Oh, that's so high.
Firmly in Division A, 893.
And how's he been going?
878 of late, so he's been stinking it up.
That's crude.
Yeah, he would be... He would be in the first line of troops that the Sergeant of the Stink Pile sent towards the advancing forces.
Absolutely. Stand to attention. we must move on to the third spot.
We must move on to the third spot.
Now, a third spot, and as it is, like I've said, it's an honour for us to be asked to do this. And what would a King of the Hill be? If the person that was asked to do it didn't insert himself somewhere in that King of the Hill.
I'm thinking Kev Costa at I'm thinking Kev Costa at Central of the cold snap putting himself on coverage.
Yep. So someone just equally as chumpy as the previous two. Yep. Do you want to announce this one?
I do. It's Jacob Cruden's doubles partner from the Wallaby Hill Parked Cup round earlier 2 years ago. He is currently rated a massive 845 on metrics, but he's working his way up to 848. So similar to Alex Evans, it is Jason Weed.
Yes. No way. Pause for applause.
There's no way. Jason's got himself. Isn't he not? You cannot be one.
You asked me to do this.
Ash must be number one.
You asked me to do this.
We have the microphone, Alan.
Thank you very much.
All right. So, yeah, look, you know, doing some solid work. Obviously hit his first ace from 35 metres.
Boom! Boom! $500.
Invalid today. And played a pretty good round. So, yeah, I believe in you, Jason, even if no one else at this table does.
That's all I need.
Yeah.
So, fourth spot now. Fourth spot and so chumpy you can carve them tier five. Bit of a Melbourne legend.
Yeah, he
really
is. I mean,
he's not a person that has a bad word to say about this guy.
No.
Peter Barry, what a legend. Gets his way in there because he's had a good showing. Mm. At the Melbourne Social Days this year since his return.
Yep.
And everyone's loved to see him. And there's really not bad words to say about him. So, I mean, I don't have anything to say.
Yeah, it's pretty boring talking about Peter Barry because...
Shit house.
Yeah, I mean, I got a lift with him once. He dropped me off from a roughy social day at somewhere I was going. And I thought maybe I can give shit to Peter Barry's music choice. But I got straight in the car and it was 80s hair metal, shred metal pumping out of his car. So you can't even give shit to his music choice.
No, you've got to respect that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, P-Baz.
So P-Baz is in there, yep. Even if he does have one of the worst carts in disc golf history.
He does.
There's only one spot remaining on So Chumpy, you can carve them tier five. And this guy's been a big part of the Throllers.
He has.
In the previous previous episodes, hasn't he?
Yeah, I think Chris talks...
Craig Ronalds. Yeah.
Talks about him a lot, plays a few social rounds with him at Melton and such, and yep.
Yep, his name's under... Little bit of contention about his name, but number five position.
Yep. Damien Moosey.
Snakes in there.
The Moose.
Pretty happy with that.
It's good. Yeah, yeah. He's the Moose with the caboose. Sneaks into the So Chumpy You Can Carve It tier. But 848, 844 quick rating. So getting there and always handy for some physio advice. So if you're out there and you see Damien on the course and you've got a bit of a niggle or something, ask him for some physiotherapy advice. He loves it.
Now, as for disc golfers that didn't make it into line five, yeah. Nick Tay. Now, this is an honourable mention.
Yeah.
Didn't make it. Do you want to tell us about his numbers?
I don't think Nick wants me to tell you about his numbers. But, Nick, I played with Nick today, and I scored the same as him. But he is tracking 841 at a metrics rating, and he's working his way down to an 826 over the last 8 rounds he's played. So he is really starting to stink. Yeah.
So much better than that number.
He is better than that number, but that's Chris Scott chiming in there.
No, we're not here for encouragement, Chris.
Yeah, the nicest guy in disc golf. Yeah. Chris and his good nature just ruining everyone's fun as usual.
So that's that'll wrap up tier five.
That's
so
tier five.
And it's been a long one so far.
It has been a long one, but it's all right. Alan told us we had unlimited time.
So that's five names for you. Now we're going to move up the next tier. Now the next tier, can you remember what that's called, Ash? Okay, so tier four.
Hang on.
We have named Beginning to Smell.
Beginning to Smell. That's right.
Sergeant of the Stink Pile, tier four, is Beginning to Smell. And what a person could we have to lead off this? I mean, we all know Alan and the work he does with his Throllers podcast. But Beginning to Smell represents players that have been good.
Yep.
That are on a rapid downward slope.
Yeah, who've had... Yeah, they are, and Jacob Cruden, I apologise for not putting you in this.
You
this
can't spot, be everywhere, Jacob.
You're worse than that at the moment.
As I said, the downward slope is done, and he's at the bottom.
He gets correct. But there's another bloke.
He's made it down the hill, and he's just waiting for the chairlift.
There's another.
There is a man who's played a lot of disc golf.
There is. He's played more disc golf than most.
Played
and he's on his way down, and I'm not sure for what reason, but he's very close to a particular DJ of this podcast's heart, and it is none other than Jeff Brunsting. Listen to the room. Didn't it change then?
Wendy's last win.
Come on. Have a look. Read the numbers, Ash.
Yeah,
tell him why.
Read the numbers. So Jeff Brunsting, 51st rated in the club, 868. Stink. But at the moment,
I smell it from here and he's not even here.
858.
Oh,
that's
yuck,
not
Jeffrey.
Jeff Brunsting at a social day numbers.
This is great.
You gave us the power.
It's gone straight to your head.
So, yeah.
Nah, good on him. Good work, Jeff.
Yeah, yeah.
One of the best chumps there are.
That's it.
But you have to remember, as we get up the tiers, if your quick rating puts you over 900, you can fuck off. So, Dan Frawley doesn't play many Melbourne social days, but he's 901 quick rating. Fuck off.
Yep.
800.
Alan's mentioned that he's got a few problems. And if you've got problems with anything that's been said here by this representation, and it is a fair representation made by us.
It is.
You can email us at jasonandash@gfyourself.com.au.
You guys reckon you can just move this along?
No. No.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Brett.
Next one. Next one we've got. Now, this guy's been popping off recently, but we can't push him any further up the pile.
Consistency's lacking.
Consistency's lacking. It's been a recent trend, and as we both know, Jason, recent trends don't always last. So at a metrics rating of 853, and this is the first time we're seeing this, 870 quick rating.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh, positive.
Yeah, we're looking at a man that that likes his rowing, that probably went to a private school, a school with a tie, a blazer. Well, with a name like Carlton Clerk.
Carlton Clerk.
You have to have, don't you? Yeah.
Yeah, he's in there.
Yeah,
he was in there.
He was in the room. He was in the room
was,
just before.
He was buying beers. He said, have I made the list? I said, not yet.
Yeah, so Carlton Clerk.
Carlton Clerk, yeah, he's been throwing well.
And so he's a pest, isn't he?
He is.
He's a pest at a social day.
So, yeah. Anyway, Carlton Clerk makes our second spot. Now we move on to spot three on tier four, which is beginning to smell.
Right, okay.
And there's only one man that we can put in this position. He occasionally puts out a good turnout.
He had a good game.
And then occasionally, he has a stinker.
Yeah.
So in the fourth place on tier four has to be...
Mark Stutz. So 853 and 850 quick rating. So he's absolutely stagnating. And when you know when you stagnate, you begin to smell.
You do. You're beginning to smell there.
Yep.
But there's been some disc golfers beginning to smell this year, but there's been none other smelling any more, anywhere near as much as this in general and metaphorically.
And it's got nothing to do with what he eats. No, it's got nothing to do with where he
showers.
There's
a hell of a slide going on, and until today, he put out a pretty good performance today, but until today, he's been pretty ordinary, and it's been well documented. He's very close to our hut.
He is.
In fourth spot is Matthew Farina.
Matthew Farina.
So Matty, what do these numbers look like?
I really want to read out these numbers. This is the biggest differential we've seen. So metrics rating of 851, but a quick rating based on his last eight rounds of 819.
Oh, good heavens.
Yeah.
Wow. That is bad.
Not putting in much work at social day. So Matty Farina definitely beginning to smell.
That brings us to the end of tier four. All right. We're almost there, folks. Stick with us.
All righty.
This is tier three now.
Alan's got his head in his hands. Alan's
starting to get some good chumps here now.
He's got his head in his hands like he doesn't fucking like ratings, Alan. He doesn't like listens.
It's gonna be a side podcast like Talking Trilogy.
Hey. We are nowhere near Talking Trilogy. Yeah. You leave us alone.
So the next division, which is three members. Named Div B Bullies.
Oh, Div B Bullies.
Div B Bullies.
Yeah. Righto. Alan hosted the Throllers podcasting from my fucking car. Get your shit together. Yeah, righto.
I know, whatever podcast him and Craig put up.
Yeah.
So first member of Div B Bullies. And this guy's been popping off a little bit this year.
He has been popping off. He's been a bit of a pest in the Div B. He doesn't turn up to many social days, but he turns up to enough.
Yep. And it's Johnny Martin. Johnny Martin makes tier three. Yeah. You like that one? Alan likes that one. He respects that one.
Yeah. He bought a shirt.
Give us the numbers.
Yeah. I'm going to try and find the numbers on Johnny Martin. He's got to be a bit higher.
He's up the top somewhere.
He's got to be higher.
He's pesting up the top somewhere.
Where is he? Was he even on here? I'd had a few when we did this. Like, there he is. There he is. 67. Johnny Martin. And he has spelled his name J-O-N-N-Y. In the chat. But 850 and a bit of a Farina-esque differential there, but going upwards, 877 rated of late for Johnny Martin. So, yeah.
Well done, Johnny Martin, making it on Tier 3 Div B Bullies. We have a second Div B Bully coming at you now.
Yep.
And look, like we mentioned earlier, it would be wrong of us not to plonk ourselves.
Absolutely.
In our own Sergeant of the Stink Pile. But I will announce the next person that we've put in the middle of Tier 3. is Ash Weedner, and he loves being called that, folks.
He fucking does, yeah. Yeah.
So Ash Weedner gets in there after being previously pretty shit at social days.
Yeah, I can't right. I can't play social days, but I'll run through the numbers on this one just because I've done it for everyone else. 869.
Next in tier three is
quick rating of 890. Quick rating of 890. So I think I've earned my spot there. It's nice to be a Div B bully.
Well, Div B bully, have you won any Div B social days this year?
No, I don't win social days, mate. The people, are scared of me. Yeah.
Next in Div B bullies for tier three, there's only one spot left. And we've got young fella.
Yeah.
Young fella, and I think we all know who this is.
Oh, no, and just on a side note. On a side note, how wonderful was it to see the Melbourne Disc Golf Club start up the junior club championships this week?
More on that later.
Yeah, yeah.
As we get to spot three in our Div B bullies, this guy's been winning Div B. He's won it a couple of times.
He has.
He came off earlier on in the year, it was a 9-under at Ruffy Lake or something ridiculous like that. His dad's a bit weird, but he's all right. It has to be Marcus Davies, the young slinger.
Marcus Davies is up there. So Marcus Davies, where is he? I had him before. Young fella, 48, 870 rated, 867 currently.
Consistency.
Yeah, so it's consistent. It's consistent. He's getting good.
Honourable mention in this category before we leave. There was one guy that couldn't get in is purely because we don't know who he is.
Yeah.
Stephenson. Whoever you are, yeah. Tim, bad luck, you didn't make it. But
sorry if we're pronouncing that incorrectly, Tim.
Sorry, Tim. If anyone knows Tim, can they let him know that he's made an honourable mention there in tier three?
Sorry.
Sounds like a fictional character.
Some unknown guy's yelling out in the background. I don't know who that is. But he's been playing well this year, but he's struggling.
We're getting to the juicy end now, aren't we?
We are.
We're getting to the juicy end, although there's nothing positive about the name of this category. Category two on our Sergeant of the Stink Pile is called Div A Battlers. Guys that have gone up from Div B because they moved the rating down to qualify for Div A, and they don't want to be there.
The Taron Anderson adjustment.
Yeah, they don't want to be there.
Yeah, because they won't let someone sandbag champs again this year.
First up is a guy that's
Div A Battlers. Yeah.
Been throwing him pretty well, though.
He has been throwing him pretty well.
The throwers.
Does he throw him?
He throws him.
Does he throw him or does he just fling him into the air on forehand knife hyzer and hope they come back?
Nah, he's pretty good, this guy. And the throwers.
Oh, no, that's the other guy. Yeah.
The throwers have put the squeeze on him the last couple of times, putting him in some pretty heavy matchups, and he's come to the party.
He does come to the party.
And I think he deserves to be up here.
I think he does deserve to be up here. Glenn Ralston, Div A Battler.
The room nods in approval.
Yeah. He's been good, that's fair. He has been good. 893 rating will show that. 893 quick rating, 891 metrics rating will show that.
Yeah, good on man. You. Good on you, Glenda.
Good man,
He's
Glenn.
Been good. He's been good, hasn't he?
He has.
There's only one other spot left in Div A Battlers.
Yep.
And I think it's fair. This is a controversial pick.
I think it's fair. This was a tough pick. This was a really tough pick to split these two. It was a really tough pick.
But this guy, I don't know, you summed it up well when you said he's a guy that you shouldn't beat, but you never do.
Yeah, he's a guy you think you should beat, but you never do.
Yep.
Just flinging a berg, flinging a judge, just flinging it straight, no major distance, just gets the job done.
Is he our club president?
He is our club president.
He has to go up there.
He does. He does. The flinging Dutchman himself.
A battler number two.
Is Mike VDL.
Yep.
Mike van der Linden.
He's up there, van der Linden. And there's no argument from the gallery.
You can't argue.
You can't argue.
Best haircut in the game. Best haircut in the game from Narada. From Narada Guzman sitting there with 90s beef curtains on his head. And what are they? They're dreadlocks. I don't know. He looks like he's. Are you a club member, Narada?
I am.
Oh, you are?
Wow.
Ace pot winner. He's more than a club member, isn't he?
He is an ace pot winner. No, it's. One or two, but I only paid for one. Yeah. No, it's good to have you here, Narada, and thanks for your support of every event with your deodorant. It's very, very much welcome on a disc golf course.
Thank you.
Right, so we're down to King Chump.
Yeah. We know. We're just stringing it out. Yeah.
She's trying to hurry us up here. All right.
Get a fucking orchestra and play us off.
Yeah.
All right. So yeah, this was a really tough choice.
Would you prefer if there was a few audio issues? Would you?
So we should say, excluded from this category, Seb Gutierrez, 905 quick rating. You can fuck off.
Nick off.
Doug Adams, the Bald Hill Pest, 900 rated. Fuck off. Chu Tran, 900 quick rating. Piss off.
Succulent Chinese meal.
Succulent Chinese meal. Sandbagged club championships last year. You can piss off.
Yep. See you later.
Who else? There was one more that needed to piss off. Sam Stoyer. You're better than that. Piss off. Yeah, no, he's out.
How is Sam Stoyer even in this?
Exactly. He's not.
He's sub 900, mate.
He's sub 900. He's sub 900. Alistair Don. Alistair Don's 890, but 904. He can piss off.
Al Don's metrics isn't real.
Yeah, that's right.
So we've got to the top category now. There can only be one. And we renamed this category Donald Chump.
Donald Chump.
Top of the pile. It's what you want to be. It's who you want to be.
He's manipulated the numbers to get himself up there.
He has.
Yeah.
And this is highly controversial, Ash.
I think it's controversial.
Not a well-known figure at Melbourne Disc Golf.
Not really.
This guy's form has been ridiculously consistent, hasn't it?
And I think every time Alan and Craig have mentioned him on the Throllers, they haven't known who he is.
No, that's right.
This is a good one.
Yeah, so I see the name. I've played with him a couple of times. MA50.
Yeah.
MA50.
MA50, yeah. He's an old bloke, yeah.
I only know because I've played with him that he's told me how to pronounce his name exactly.
Right.
This has to be
but his name.
Megan.
No. His name is not Zolt. His name is Jolt. Yeah. All right. Yeah. So, and that. Without further ado, we should announce...
Who is it?
Donald Chump. It is Jolt, and I can't say his last name.
Kashula.
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 Hey, did you just get someone's name right?
Yeah.
Yes. So, congratulations to Jolt Kashula.
Yeah, nice.
Because his form has been unbelievable.
Unbelievable. He's shooting down. I don't think he's given a stroke back at a social day for years.
Yeah, he's been good.
897 quick rating, 891. That is the bloke you have to beat if you're sub 900 rated at a social day for mine.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
He's the best an MA3 player can get.
Yeah. Yes, he is.
He'll swing you a Desi if you want one as well.
A Desi.
Destroyer.
Oh, Destroyer. No, he's a good man. He's a good man, Jolt. Or for those of you playing at home that have only seen his name on a sign-up sheet, it's Zolt Kasatlos is the man we're talking about.
Kashula.
But for those of us just reading
it.
That was a really good segment.
Really good.
That's yeah.
Really good. Whoa. Yeah. We only get around me and Chris here.
Yeah,
great. So, who's Chris? Wasn't that really good? It's probably the best segment I've ever had on
Throllers. Just to recap the tears, Jason. it's good to be on. It's good to have our voices on the Throllers. It's good for me to be back on the Throllers after being arsed off the intro after 100 or so episodes. But
it's been an honour to be a part of it. To be honest, yeah, so thank Alan, both Alan and Craig for having me on.
Yeah.
I couldn't ask for anything better, really. Yeah, so yeah, I hope you like it, and I hope this raises a lot of controversy.
Yep.
Air your grievances back with the Throllers because that's why we did it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, if you hate it and you think you should have been there, then let us know.
Yeah.
Tell us all about it.
Let Alan know all about it. If on social media, inbox him. I don't think Alan reads them anyway, but let him know because we want controversy, but we think we're right. So
absolutely. And
change our minds.
Thank you all for joining us. Until next time, I've been Jason Wiedner.
I've been Ashley Wiedner.
And until next time, park it.
Well, there you go, Craig. What do you think?
Unreal. I thought succulent Chinese meal had his name all over it for some period, but they just told him to fuck off. Even though his quick rating's only 890, but they put him in the sandbagging category and couldn't find a slot for succulent Chinese meal. That one, I feel like there's got to be a grievance there. But that being said, who wants to be the sergeant of the what? The sergeant of the stink pile. Yeah, maybe Taz doesn't want to be sergeant of the stink pile.
Donald Trump.
Oh, brilliant, brilliant. Yeah, it's got to be Donald Trump. And once they told those others pissed off, I knew they were going to go with Jolt. Couple of players. Players been overlooked.
Yeah, a couple of players been overlooked. Jason finding room for himself is insane. That's crazy.
Well, the way I look at it is like on the Metrics Club page, you've got pages 1, 2, and 3. On page 1, you can't find any sergeants of this hill, but then on page 2, you've got 30 players to choose from. And they've chosen quite a few from page 3.
Yeah.
So there's a lot on page 2 who might feel a little hard done by.
I've got the metrics coming up for Melton here, and I'm just looking at Div B. So Jace Weedner, Ash Weedner, both in attendance, and I'm just looking at Matt Finnegan, Matt Daniels, Wayne Hood, Eamon Dawson, Picanti, Alex Ritchie. All just sitting there going, all right, boys, let's see how you do. Let's see how you do this weekend. So,
yeah,
they were very good, though. They were very funny. That was a fun time.
Yeah.
We had a fair few hanging out and listening to it, and yeah, it was great. So that was really good. So really appreciate the work there to the Weedner boys.
No doubt they'll be listening. If they have that down in any sort of written formation, I would love for them to send it my way just so I can do some social pieces around that.
Yeah, I'll reach out. I'll get that for you. And I'm certain, I completely forgot about me just rolling with Kashula. That's not his name. I'm certain of that. That was just several cans deep. I think I'm confusing myself. There's a bloke from New South Wales whose last name is Kashula, and I reckon I've just gone with that because I think I just remembered Zolt's name started with a C or something. I blurted that out, and they just went with it. And then Chris called it. He's like, oh, you finally got a name right? And I'm like, probably not. Zolt's good. That's a good top one. True Tran stiff to be fucked off, but hey, you met a quick rating too high.
Mark Hardy is big on Kashula, so I know they've given us a bit of shit there saying we don't know who he is. I've also had the pleasure of at least a social day or two with Schultz, and I am aware of who he is. Mark Hardy rates him. So I think he's a good guardian.
Yeah.
He's a good guardian.
Yeah, no, I've played with him too. I was actually on the matchup. I was on the card when Jolt and Chu were battling against each other at Bald Hill. And Chu played fantastic, but Jolt was just right there behind him. But Chu put a little bit too much on, and I guess that's why he got excluded. But that's where you got to beat Jolt to get out of the Chump Club. So very, very fitting. But yeah, I feel like we're going to have a lot of people arc up about that one. So pretty excited about that.
Yeah.
Any other thoughts before we move on to the results for the Inverley Open?
Nah, great work, boys. Pleasure as always. Surprised that it was Jason's first appearance. That's remiss of us. We know we're a podcast for the MA4 at heart, and so we should be finding more time for Jason Weedner. He's an MA4 golfer at heart, so we should find more room for him.
For sure. All right, so Inverley was great. I talked about that before. The tourney's always fun. The whole course and everything was looking fantastic. I know that Chris Hart put in a power of work because I played with him in the first round and he was just knackered. So he was telling us he's been doing long days at work and then just having to come out and do a bunch of stuff on the course. And it was looking great. It was looking really fantastic, to be honest. Big shout out to the whole Hart family, though, as well, because Kaz was there helped set up and do the food and the check-ins and stuff. Same with Ellie. She was there, and even on the Saturday night, Ellie working the bar, and I'm sure that a teenage girl wants to be doing more than working the bar for a bunch of dickheads at a disc golf tournament on a Saturday night. So big shout out to the whole family for that team effort.
Huge. That's awesome.
New course. So you had said you're like, this the new nine is harder. And yeah. I was like, I was remembering. I'm like, there's definitely some harder ones, and I think definitely some either ones, but I probably did play harder overall. The front nine doesn't. And then they're definitely, I still feel the same. Like, I don't know if it definitely does play harder overall, but there are definitely some holes on that nine that we'd already played that I'm still, like, playing them again. I'm like, yeah, I'm not good at these, and I'll never be good at these. But the front nine was a lot more open. So I feel like that nine that we've played is a lot more open shots throwing into the woods and then sort of going from there. And this new nine is more throwing from the woods out into the open and then to a protected green or something like that, or a tucked green. And I don't know, when you play it all as whole one, it gives me a lot more white vibes, infinitely white vibes. So but it's longer, way longer. So it's got a lot more of the white feel in terms of, I feel like you can scramble heaps easier on it than the golds. But it is real long. So it's tough. A lot of the par fours, I just couldn't get there. Like, even with a nice drive, I have the distance to get to the pin, but the baskets are all tucked over on the right, and you got to try to throw something flip up that turns into that, or a forehand that goes the same distance as my max backhand. And it wasn't there. So I think a lot of people got themselves in trouble trying to do one of those two things, where I actually had a pretty decent round because I just sort of threw it to pin high, C2, and laid up sort of setup.
Yeah.
So very manageable, but still challenging. And but I enjoyed it. I think it was really good. But yeah, a lot more white vibes than gold, I think.
Okay, cool.
All right, we'll chuck through some of the divisions. We'll have a look at MJ15. It was just Owen Maisie, and he was out there having fun with us on the Saturday night with Glenn and Sean. So I'll give him a pass for his plus 1,000 on the golds. But yeah, plus 51 overall. That's a lot of strokes, but it's Imbly, so it makes a bit of sense. Played above rating. Can't go wrong with that.
That'll do.
Only one also in the FA4, Linda Nalon. Big scores for her, but also well above rating. So very good job there. Into the MA4, I think we were just on at a dartboard here. I think we just... Oh, no, we liked this one. We liked Ash going into it, didn't we? Ash Brookers.
We did. But one of our listeners Wayno, Cobden Carnage himself, was all over the fact that Noah was going to win. And pre-event sent me a couple of screenshots of Noah's metrics rating, which was possibly approaching 880 or something silly. And he just let me know that Noah's probably going to take it down.
Well, after round one, it was a tie between Noah and Ash, both of them getting a couple birdies on the Invalid White layout. And then in round two, it was pretty close there as well. So plus 12 for Noah on the new Invalid Gold and plus 15 for Ash. The big birdie on hole 7 for Noah, probably the big tipping point there. So well done to Noah, and close Ash, not a bad showing up either.
No, great event by Ash, and he may feature later in the pod.
Oh, exciting. In the FA3, a few of the girls out there having a crack, so that was really good to see. We had Simone McKnight in first place after round one, 8 strokes clear with a pretty tidy 13, and just absolutely blew them away on the golds, so on the new golds. So not even close in the end. She smokes it over Michaela Cooper.
Yeah, 100 rating points above rating.
Massive.
Essentially.
Yeah, huge.
Yeah.
So excellent performance there. What about the MA3s?
Can't Don't remember who we went with from a tipping perspective here in MA3, but we do find a couple of the Parker boys up near the tippy top. So shout out to Jace Wiedner and Matty Farina finding themselves up near the tippy top of the division, with Matty Farina paying 35 rating points above rating, tying with Josh Quinn. But absolutely done by the better, outdone by the better Jankar in Paul Jankar, getting the chocolates with a +9 on the golds, 900 rated golf, taking it down by 3 strokes.
Yeah, very big. The Jankar family coming through with the goods. I think I had Carlton Clerk. I said can't go wrong with tipping him. Well, we went wrong. It was wrong.
I might have gone Matt Mutter, to be honest. So I went one further wrong than you.
Yeah. In the MA2, this was a pretty cool battle to watch unfold. Some nice scores on the whites there. Johnny Martin with a +2, 2 strokes ahead of Tim Stevenson and Matt Hunter. But when they got out into the bigger course, it was Matt Hunter and Mitch Evers who were handling it much better. And Matt had the better round originally, so gets the W. So nice big win for Matt Hunter. 12 players out at Inverley, very good score. So gets it done by just the 1 stroke over Mitch Evers. And my tip, Shawnee Freeman, with a pretty solid tournament there as well, in 3rd place with Johnny Martin and Tim Stevenson.
There you go. I can't remember who I backed. I think I did back Matt Hunter.
Oh, fucking look at you go.
No, I don't know. But look, Wayne Govan, I just gave him some props for tipping the winner of MA4. He's made his way back into MA2. Last.
Tie last.
Sorry, Wayne. Had to point it out.
Oh, gold. MA50s.
MA50. This was the battle that we just live for now in MA50. But you know, as we alluded to on the pod last week, we didn't know where Carey would find himself. He dropped me a message, super glue or staples or something. He done a bit of work on it, and he was definitely ripe to play. Obviously not 100%, but put in a good showing after round one. He had a 3-stroke deficit to Richard. Then they went over to Golds, and he stretched it out by one more shot, and Richard takes it down. Bang.
Yep. Going even through the whites at Inverley is no mean feat. 5 birdies for his trouble as well. So very nice there, Richard.
Mm-hmm.
In the FA40, we had Sue Donnelly and Jamie Clowes battling it out, and Sue gets it done very comfortably. So, very nice tournament there for Sue.
Yep, well done.
MA40, bit of a fatter field there. We had 13 showing up, and I think I touted this as a nice little matchup between Glenn Maisie and JC Justin Clark, and boy, they did not disappoint. So both with negative rounds on the golds, Luke Pote there as well with him, but when we got to the bigger course, JC and Glenn just handled it very nicely, and JC gets the chocolate. So a +3 final score for Justin, just edging out Glenn at a +4 with Taryn and Jay there at +9 overall. So pretty huge event, 9:39 event there for JC, and Glenn not far behind. So very good disc golf from those boys.
Yeah, rated. Yeah, I feel rated. He's come in and taken it home interstate. Oh, well done, Justin. Yeah. FA1, Justin Nieder, really solid round on the golds to finish the event. With a +8, 9:13 rated round with a birdie on 15. Well done, Anita. Well above rating, an 870 event. Nice work.
Big birdie on that layout's pretty nice.
Mm.
In the MA one, my boys. Strong start from me. I'll just get that out there right out of the way. So a manageable scramble course. That's for me. I like that. Just be chumpy, play pretty clean, and let everyone else stuff up. And it worked out pretty good. I got myself one birdie, which came from a nice deep putt on my very last hole of the day. A double, which was just a bad tree kick, like a real bad tree kick, and then struggle scramble. A normal bogey just on that par five that I can't throw to. That 1,181 feet, it says. It's too far. I can't get to it. And then another bad tree kick bogey. So other than that, 1,000 pars, 7 of 8 putting in the C1, hit 2 from C2. All my putts were from like 8 meters too. Like, it was just a nice putting day. Very nice putting day. Good throwing day. And that still put me 3 strokes behind Caitlin. But on the lead card with Chris Scott, Penn, and Caitlin. So looking pretty good for my King of the Hill odds there. And it all just went away in the Golds. It all went away so fast. Straight away bogeyed on hole 8 where we started. Yeah.
Not a hole you want a bogey.
Nah, I hit one of those early trees, which you just shouldn't, and then slipped on the approach. I was like, whatever. And then bogeyed 9, which I always do, so I was like, whatever. And then was pretty good for a while, then took an 8 on hole 15. I was like, oh, that's my weekend.
Yeah.
I think it's actually an improvement from the number I took last year on that same hole. I swear to God, I got like a 9 or a 10 on it last year. It's fucking killing me. Putting. The putting on that one was bad, bad, bad.
And Cam Ford parred that hole. His last hole of the weekend. And he yeah, parred
it's big. So, it all went away from me. Throwing was no good. And then my putting was trash. Like, I don't know what happened, but my putting just full disappeared. I missed a couple dinkers. I had 2 straddles and I was nowhere near making them. They weren't even close. They weren't far putts and I wasn't close to making them. I don't know. Hard to explain that one.
Bogey on 2, not ideal.
Nah, mate. Fucking bogeys everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you can like you said, you can bogey 9. That's not a problem. You can bogey 1. You can bogey 3. Please do. But you don't want to bogey 2.
Nah. So 2 was, 2 was a shit putt. Like, I got sneaky with the line, stuffed it. Just threw a not good enough upshot and then fucked the putt. I was like, what is wrong with you? Yeah. Hole 3, I played it incredible. And I gave myself like a 4-meter, like a really easy upshot. And I had like a 4 or 5 meter putt and then hit the cage. Like, I was like, oh, what is going on? It was tough sledding out there for me. So it didn't matter. I was shit. Luckily, everyone else was pretty shit. It's Invalid Golds. And so I managed to sneak out of 5. So that's good. And the plus 12, I've looked at it. My bet, since going MA1 anyway, my best score at Invalid is a 6. And my worst is a 12. And I've got a handful of 11 and 12s. I cannot play the course. I just cannot do it. So... I'll have to remember that for next year. But a few people that can play the course, Chris Scott and Kaelin, it turned quickly. So I bogeyed 8. Well, Chris Scott birdied it, so we very quickly swapped. He goes on to then birdie hole 11, and all of a sudden he's 2 down through 4, and it's on. Like, Penn's taken a double. Kaelin's got a bogey in there. It's just on. Anyway, Invalid sort of happens, keeps going back and forth. Chris Scott throws a booming shot out of the gap on 18. So he takes a sneaky line. Not the line he wanted, but he gets a sneaky line. But gets out and then down, like all the way out and left. Like, it was way down. You couldn't see it from the tunnel, you know? And then puts it to 5 meters, birdies 18. I think it's his first time ever doing it. Steps up to hole 1. Sick drive, sick upshot, birdies hole 1. Like, sick. Who the fuck birdies 18 and 1 back-to-back?
Yeah, that's big.
And then that really put a ton of pressure. You might have been up by 3 strokes or something by then, I think. So, got pretty spicy. Like I said, Invalid happens, bogeys here and there. Kaelin gets a birdie on 5, and Chris bogeys 6, and we're all tied up going into the long par 5. And Chris throws it pretty good, and Kaelin throws it 150 meters. I don't know. It was so far. But then puts one off into the trees right. They both end up scrambling pretty good and have long par putts. They both miss them. We go to a playoff. Hole one, both end up left in the shit. And Chris Scott just throws a peach. He was throwing so good all day. But he throws a peach to like 13 meters. Kalen gets his to like 20-something odd or whatever, has to lay up. And Chris just trickles it in. So birdied hole one twice that day. That's pretty fucking good.
That's really good, yeah.
And some real nice stats for him. I took his stats. 7-7 C1X. He's hit one from C2 as well. 4-18 C1 and reg. That doesn't sound like a lot, but it is. On the Invalid Golds, that's so good. Like Kalen, who's very good throwing, had 1-18 C1 reg. So yeah, Chris threw really well. Chris putted really well. He shot a +3 on the Invalid Golds, and that will get you wins in MA1. So well done there, Chris.
Yeah, huge. Obviously, big after, you know, some of his recent performance, just back that up. And yeah, bang, the king of MA1. He's kind of just letting people know why do you and I only talk about Penn?
Yeah, he's got him a couple of times now, some big tournaments. So
yeah,
good to see. Penn hurt himself on hole 18 and, yeah, didn't sort of recover from there. But he'd done his damage on 18 before he hurt himself, I think. And, yeah, he was sort of there, but I don't think he was going to make the charge that the other boys were doing. So, yeah, fair play to those two. They played great. And, yeah, no one else really did too much. Everyone else kind of sucked. I'll give a shout out, Picanti a shout out. Very nice round one. Stepped up to MA1 to play the harder layouts and just thought he was going to be trash, but had a very nice round one on the new East Gold. So good job to him.
Yeah, no, definitely. And then finished with a 900 event, so nothing too shabby. MP40, Ruben pulled out. We got mail early that Ruben pulled out. So anyway, these two had to go toe-to-toe. Look, I think it's fair to say that if Ruben was able to play, he was probably taking this down. But these two were inseparable. Round one, they went a +6 and a +8 with pretty similar scorecards, both with birdies on 17, both struggling on 13. Pretty similar scorecards, but Josh goes into the final round with a 2-stroke lead. And then basically they just had identical rounds. In round two, Tim was unable to make up any of that deficit, and Josh takes it down by 2 strokes.
Very good battle there by those boys. So, and not very nice final rounds. +5 of the golds is great. Yeah. I think Josh laid up for a bogey too because he could.
Yeah.
So good for him. And you reckon Ruben would have had him by 8 strokes? You reckon Ruben shoots a +3?
Oh, well, look, probably. let's just go ahead and assume.
Ryan Michelle with a +2. Ryan Deer with a +4. Does Rubes just sneak right in there?
Yeah.
He could.
Yeah, he's very good. So I probably would have taken the guarantee. But I had to change it up. And as we sort of alluded to last week, I was keen on Josh Smith. So I hit you up and I've put my receipts up on socials. So anyone that follows us on socials has already seen the receipts. But I asked Alan, what would you give me for Josh Smith for a 940 event or better? And he said, I'd give that a 7 because I think Josh has no chance. And I said, I'll take the 7. And look, it was very interesting watching the ratings because it was like it looked home and hosed for a period of time. And then a few people's scores came in and then it looked like it just stagnated. And he was locked in at a 9:38 event until I think you submitted your score, Alan.
Not just me. Look at fucking Penn's score, all right? I'm not taking all the heat for this.
But it just was enough. I honestly thought he was going to hit 9:39 because I was watching it that closely. I was like, yeah, but a few of those MA1 boys have played so shit. Like, this has to go up. And I thought it's going to be a bloody 9:39 in there. And anyway, it wasn't. It was a 9:40. I will take 7 points. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I'm pretty dirty on that. I'm pretty dirty on that. I didn't have Josh Smith shooting a plus five on the Invalid Golds, so I can tell you that.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's fine. That gets you to 26 points with a nice big seven. I forgot to check in on mine, but we sort of did talk about it. I asked you for Kalen versus Andrew Young Jackaway.
Yeah.
And I was leaning towards Andrew, which Kalen just, he couldn't believe it. He the fact that you gave Andrew the four and Kalen the six, he's so dirty on it, which is so funny. But yeah, once you did give him the underdog status, I took him and he beats him by two positions, but by seven strokes. So not close in the end. And I'll take 6 points. Thank you very much. That puts me to 27. We've got a ring-a-ding-ding. One point between the two of us. And we're back on track here with our Thrallers guarantee. So that's good to see.
There we go.
You've mentioned the we put our scorecards in and it tickled over to the 940. Well, it also put Picanti over a 900 rated event.
Yep.
And I'm not sure if you've caught up on the latest episode of the Tee Off, but he messaged them to give me a shout out. He's like, and I thought like when it starts, he goes, oh, we got a message here from Aaron. And then they probably know how to say his last name properly. And, he goes, I just want to say a big thank you to Alan Brunsing. And I was thinking, oh, we both played quite well in that first round. He's like, I really enjoyed my time. It was good card vibes and da da da. He goes, nah. After he tapped in his bogey on his final hole, my total thing went up to a 900 event average. So shout out to Alan for that. I was like, cheers, you fuckwit. So you get fucked. But in the MPO, we called this. We said that doesn't matter what happens, Dylan's got to be the favorite. And he was the leader after round one, even with an inexplicable double bogey on hole 17. He goes in two-stroke favorite over Paddy and another one back to Ville and does what he needs to do, two down on the Golds. And gets it done by four strokes over Ville and Paddy as a tie in the end. Ville with the rarest of scorecards you'll ever see.
Yeah.
On the Invalid Golds there with one birdie and 1,000 pars. And yeah, he was pretty dirty on it. Like, I'd caught him maybe 10 holes through his round. No, more than that. So I was crossing past with him at hole 18. And so they would have been going to hole 12. And he's just like, I don't have a single birdie. He's all pars. I was like, oh, that's incredible.
Yeah.
And he's like, it's shit, no matter what. He goes, I can't bogey. I'll just hit the stupid putt. But I can't birdie. I'll miss the putt. I was like, yeah, man. I just took an eight real recent.
I took an eight.
I was like, fuck off with your all pars.
Nah, this made my socials. I couldn't believe this unfolding. I caught wind of it with like maybe three or four holes to play, and obviously we know that's the gauntlet at Invalid. So I was like, Jesus, can he get through the gauntlet clean? Because it has to be unheard of. Like,
it's crazy.
Now, maybe it got done back in the day, you know, let's play the Pro Tour cards here. Like, they've changed, they've tweaked it enough that I'm going to say that on that layout of the course, that is the first time it's been bogey-free. Even if Dylan went bogey-free when he went fucking Neg 11 on it back when it was champs or whatever, it's slightly different now. Yeah. So I'm giving Marcus the flowers there. That is unreal.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Have you got Ryan Hart later on, or can we talk about this now?
Please.
Okay. So in our group six thing, we're doing it. I think we both had Ryan Hart and we both had a very nice round one. I had Dill and Vill and Ryan Hart and then three chumps that were just playing pretty good for a chump. And then in round two, it all goes away because Ryan Hart things pretty much. It's windy and you know how he putts. And this number's astounding to me. I've never seen someone have 27 C1X butts.
Yeah.
I think I asked Chris Scott to guess. I was like, Ryan hit 5 putts and his percentage is disgusting. Like, how many do you think he attempted? And even he was like 15 or something. I'm like, 27. That's so many. And he hit 5 of them. He was laughing. He was in good spirits after. He was laughing. He's like, yeah, I just 4-putted everything. It's like, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
He said he was laying some up too.
No, yeah. I mean, the 6-putt on hole 12 is hard to look at. And yeah, he's got, 7-putt if you want to include the C2 look. And yeah, a few 4-putts to boot. Look. He has won an event with a 6-putt. And so maybe it was like, hang on, that's my jam. I've just got to get a 6-putt in there and then maybe I'll take this down. But, yes, it undid you pretty significantly, in the pick 6, but did I still scrape in a second or a third? My 6 picks were elite.
Yeah. Nah, you were good. I was still, I was still right there. I think I was maybe one behind you. So it wasn't that bad. But yeah. Tips other than that were fantastic.
Yeah.
And in saying that, Ryan Hart with a plus 19 on the golds, a 849 round, still beat Leo by 3 strokes.
Oh, yeah, I know, right? I tell you who wasn't in my pick 6. Leo was not in my pick 6.
Lucky.
And he was in a few others.
He was.
And that really hurt a few people.
It did. Other notables is the big ace by Aiden.
Yeah.
So Aiden Howard gets it on round 1. It's that island hole.
Yeah, so, no, I saw the photo. Okay. Yeah, I figured. I can't even fucking make the island.
Yeah, I know. That was my only. I had one C1 in reg for that round, and that was that one. And it was the only putt I missed of the day.
Did he take wide highs at Aiden lines, or did he go straight at it? What did he do?
It was a skip shot.
Okay.
So it must. Yeah, I don't think he went at it. He must have just sort of, flirted with or was out of bounds the whole time, and then came in and skipped in. So, sick ace, and he took down $200.
Happy days.
And the other ace that Jace was talking about was himself. We're doing the little ace challenge that they always do at Inverleigh. So there was $500 up for grabs for any, for the ace at the ace spot thing. That went down to $300 because Aiden took the $200. They always just say, if someone aces, we'll give you money, but no one ever does. And Aiden did. And then I think Papa Hart might have even chucked in another $100 himself because he felt bad. But yeah, we all did the ring of fire type thing where we all throw at it until it gets closer. And Jace threw one in. So I think maybe $300 or $400 might be heading Jace's way. So well done there, Jace Wiener.
Sick.
All right. I think that's it. I think we covered it all.
Bang.
We've got some Throwers Guarantee then for this weekend.
Yes, please.
Back with a social day in Melton. I'm trying to find out what you'll give me for my boy Mark Hardy.
Yes.
And how he will fare up against who's a good matchup for Hardy. What about Cooper Thompson?
Mark Hardy is a 3.
Oh, that's so many. Oh, that sucks. I don't think Cooper beat him though.
No, well then you can take the 7.
Yeah.
But I think Mark Hardy kind of is pretty spicy at Melton.
He really is. that's a big discrepancy though. All right. You got anything? Oh, I'll think of another one.
What odds will you give me for showing up?
Oh, you better, because I've just told Mike Van der Linden to drop off the Throwers Nominational disc to you on Saturday. So,
okay,
so let me know if you can't, because I'll just get him off him another time.
I will let you know, but I'm not putting myself in my guarantee. No, what I want is I want a succulent Chinese meal. Mike Van der Linden.
I don't. This is based on zero knowledge, but I feel like Taron does not play Melton well. So I'll give him the 7.
You'll give Succulent the 7? Fuck me. Oh, I have to take that. not that I would. If 5-5, I'm going Mike all day.
Mm.
But 7, I'm taking Succulent at a 7. Right,
I'll give you that. I did try to sell it overs to see if you jump in. I tried the Hardy method, but you bit. All right, I said it. You can have it. All right, I need something then. Let's have a look into B. I need a couple sixes then, if I'm having a look at that. Let's go. Ilya's warming up here. What about the new guy, Ilya, up against the local boy, Damien?
Oh, I like it. I like it. Yeah. Ilya is warming up, though, isn't he? He's all warming up to the point where he's like even just hosting events.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like you want Ilya, and I feel like, because I'm a good bloke, I'm actually willing to go 7-6. And Ilya's the 7.
Yeah. All right. I'll snatch that up.
Yeah.
I'll snatch that up. I got to try to match you. Yeah. Damo, yeah. All right, let's go. I'll take it.
Damo at home has to be the favorite.
Yeah, I'll take Ilya.
Yeah.
Hopefully Damo chokes.
Yeah.
No, don't throw all his team member, Damo, right there. Now, all right, sounds good. Let's do some, what's it called? Spotlight, not light.
Yes.
Have you got some? You ready to
shoot? Yeah, of course I do. Yeah, I am. Of course I am. All right, honorable mentions for spotlights. Has to go to myself first for my tipping. So not only did I jag Josh Smith on the fucking 940, in your other little tipping thing, you had Cam Ford.
Oh, yeah.
You had Cam Ford versus a plus 22. Now, normally when you do lines, you might do like a 22.5 over-under, but you were like, nah, plus 22, you can go for it. You'll do better, worse, or draw. And I thought, you know what? I think Cam Ford's got a plus 22 in him, and I went draw, and that's exactly what he shot.
I couldn't believe it.
It's just unheard of. So I have to feature there. My other honourable mention, this will feature in future pods, but Matt Green, our boy from Tassie, is doing work when it comes to some PDGA rating tracking shenanigans, and he has built quite the little app that allows us to keep an eye on things, and it is fire, and he's unlucky not to get the spotlight. But our boy, Frawler's team member, OG, Ash Brookers, has to get the spotlight. I obviously put the call out to listeners to make a pledge to donate to the Macbeth Foundation. And Ash Brookers took that on and said, you know what? For every stroke I beat your prediction by, I will give $1 to the foundation. And I said on the pod, just as a throwaway, because I knew they were having to play the new course, which I thought was going to be harder than what it actually was. I said on those, what are they calling it? The Golds?
Yeah, Gold East.
Gold East, I said, that division will finish plus 108. And he said, well, I will give $1 for every stroke I beat that by. So he's just about coughed up $100 there to the foundation. So huge by him. And I look forward to further pledges coming in. Please, listeners.
Spotlights. Oh, plus 108. That's good. That's fun. That's good. All right, I've got some honorable mentions here. I've already done the 8 and ace. Our boy JC is now a proud father. So that's a nice little honorable mention there.
And he's on the fucking stink hill.
And he's on the, I know, it's so fun.
What's he going to be prouder of?
Oscar was pretty dirty. He was on the same level as me. I'm wondering how dirty Jacob's going to be. He's on the same level as Jay Sweetener. My other honourable mentions go to Taz. So he brought up the cornhole set this time. I had one in the back of Chris Scott's car too, but I didn't have to get it out, so that was nice. And yeah, next year I just won't bring it. But my actual spotlight has to go to Lee Thompson because he's a sneaky little boy. So,
oh, I know what this is.
The shelter that Huss threw directly into for what's it called? The park does that Lamb Shanks.
Yep.
There's put a little sign on it. It says bus shelter with and buses scribbled out and it says Huss on it. So it's the Huss shelter. And there's a little QR code there that if you scan will take you to the video of Huss just ramming one right into it. So that's very good and that gets my spotlight.
Brilliant. Brilliant. So good.
What about a not light?
Nah, I'm empty. I'm empty-handed. Wasn't down at Inverleigh. Don't have one. Sorry.
We've already gone through Leo, so we don't need to harp back on that, but that was rough. But I'll go with Discraft for putting out their Labor Day special discs and not using labor to do it. clearly designed with AI. They're as good as the t-shirts that I had made a couple of years ago. Yeah, not ideal. That in itself, like, pretty shit, but I was just having a listen to the start of Tour Life and Brody and Yuli. Yuli's captain at Discraft and Brody's a prominent member, and they bring that up onto it, and I feel like the only thing you should be able to say is, yeah, not a good look, and then leave it at that. Like, that's how I feel like, yep, it's not a good look. Not sure what happened there, but yeah, that was clearly an oversight on someone's part. Instead, there was like 15 minutes of rambling shit, talking in circles about how like they'll be better because of this and all this crap. I was just like, no, just say you fucked up. Like, yeah, so I know they're not directly speaking for Discraft, but yeah, so the whole situation and then the reaction from those guys, I just didn't like, so... A bit of a not light to them.
Yep, well done. That's just been a weird one. I mean, I'm sleepless last night trying to catch up on it at like 2 a.m. And just the way Discraft are handling it, like, it's not a biggie, but they're making it one. Mm-hmm. Just with the way they're, like, butchering their, like, media around it. Like, just, yeah, hand up. Yeah, fuck up. Sorry, guys. Yeah, like, it's too tempting, whatever. We'll be better for it. But they're just like trying to deny it a bit, and it's just fucking, they're butchering it.
Yeah. Yeah. Could agree more. Just say, oh, yep, yeah, our bad. And everyone would move on.
Yeah.
All right. I think that's it. Not sure if we missed anything, but if we did, too bad. hopefully, we'll have another King of the Hill next week for the MA50 boys. I think Alex Evans might have something spicy for us, and then we'll have to keep, there's some tournaments coming up, so we'll have to keep an eye on some of these hills. There was some, like we mentioned, Leo, Brett Zeeble didn't exactly show up either. Timmy Ware, who was not on the hill, was quite hot and was questioning me on whether this gets him onto it. So we got some stuff to watch out for, some big social dates coming up, some tourneys coming up. I feel like doing well at the Throllers Non-Invitational will help you out a lot.
It will.
Unless I play shit, then that probably is not a big factor. but yeah, there could be some movement there. Chris Scott playing very well. Kalen well. Penn not so much. Things to look out for. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Peace out.